Thanks, Steve. Really enjoyed the last song. Jesus is the only name to remember. Amen. Well, it was really good to be together this past Friday night. We did what was called the Holy Spirit study. So we took basically the last several months I was able to study through all 250 passages that reference the Holy Spirit in Scripture and kind of consolidated it into this book. There's a few left, I think 8 or 10 maybe on the back table. If you want a copy, feel free to take one. This lays out the person and the ministry and some other questions you might have about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of information there. We went through it rather quickly. To those who are here, my head was smoking, my brain was smoking, putting it together, and I think I accomplished that in those who are here as well. It was not meant to be an in-depth dive through everything, but the packet is there for you to dive deeper into anything you might have a question about the Holy Spirit. So that was on Friday night, and I hope that it was a time of renewing our minds and fellowship. The sweet thing about it was the fellowship that we experienced when we come together with a single purpose in mind, pray for one another, and just worship God together. It was beautiful, and it was such a sweet time. So I wanted to share that with you all. If there's some of you who want one and they run out, please let me know, and I will make more copies. And it's also on our webpage. If you go to MariettaChapel.org, go to Life Flow, and then go to the Holy Spirit Study. All the information is there. In all of that, the overwhelming reality that I came to with all of it was the Holy Spirit is a tremendous gift in our life. I don't think I could state that strongly enough. I very much realized how undervalued the Holy Spirit was in my life. There is tremendous blessing in the presence and person of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And I want to pass on some of that to you. I want to hopefully show you just how beautiful the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in the lives of those who've repented and trusted in Jesus and received God's Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a number of passages, but we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, 37 to 39. If you have a copy of your, have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen as well if you don't have one with you. Acts chapter 2, 37 to 39. So this is, if you're familiar, this is the end of the Holy Spirit being poured out at Pentecost, which is what we're going to celebrate next Sunday, is Pentecost. We're going to celebrate that at that point in time, God poured out His Spirit, like He says in Joel 2. He poured out His Spirit on people. They spoke in different languages. And this is the result of what happened. This is one of the results of what happened. Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, gets up and just very clearly and very boldly declares who Jesus is to be in the midst of a crowd that just yelled to have him crucified a few weeks earlier. This same Peter who was fearful in front of a servant girl is now faith-filled in front of a crowd who would have had Jesus crucified. And what's the difference there? The difference is the presence of the Holy Spirit upon him in those moments. So Peter's preaching to his people, to Israel. And this is what comes at the very end of that message that he gives. He says, this says this, Acts 2, 37 to 39. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for who all are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just how good of a gift is the Holy Spirit? He's the best kind. The gift that continually gives. And I want to show you the beauty of what God has given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So this word gift is doria. And it just means, it's a simple word, it's not complicated, it just means unmerited grace. Like there's nothing we did to earn the Holy Spirit, nothing we worked for, nothing we accomplished that allowed it to happen. This word emphasizes the immeasurable generosity of the giver. That's what it's saying. God was immeasurably gracious and kind and poured out his Spirit on those who repented and trusted in Jesus. Not because they were good, but because Jesus was good and we put our trust in him and we received this gift. The breathtaking gift of the Holy Spirit. It highlights God's generosity to people, his favor and his mercy towards you in Christ have received a profound gift. And the blessing of putting this together was that I got to see that. I got to see just how involved the Holy Spirit is in every area of our lives. Every area. There is nothing we know about God that doesn't come through the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. The Holy Spirit is God's voice. It's God's hands and it's God's feet in a world that we live in. That's how God makes himself known, is through the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everything you know about God, you can thank the Holy Spirit for. If you're in Christ, you can thank the Holy Spirit for opening your eyes and allowing you, like these people that Peter's preaching to recognize their sin and recognize their need for Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can open eyes that are blind. And if you're in Christ, he has opened your eyes. The scales, the walls, the blinders that were once there have fallen away because the Holy Spirit has touched and pricked your heart. You have received an immeasurable gift. And what do you do with a gift? You treasure it. You value it. You take care of it. You receive it. You open it. I want to show you a little bit about the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is fully God. He's fully God. In this little short snippet from Acts, we see that when Ananias and Sapphira lie about the property they're sold and the amount, it says that initially they lied to the Holy Spirit. I have a little way of highlighting here. This might help. So initially they lied to the Holy Spirit, it says. And then just a short spot later, you've not lied to man, but to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is fully God. Psalm 139, the Holy Spirit is given God attributes, given divine attributes. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? There is nowhere you can go from the Holy Spirit. He is God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. As I said a minute ago, there's nothing we can say about the nature of God that is not true about the nature of the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is one part, one person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. The Holy Spirit is God. The other part is the Holy Spirit is a person. This is where maybe our minds are having a little more trouble grasping this. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a physical body, but he's described as having personal characteristics, emotions, feelings. It says in Ephesians 4 that we can grieve. How many of you have ever grieved something? Raise your hand. Everybody has. So just all put your hands up. Go ahead. Everybody put your hand up. Okay. Well, everybody's grieved something. Like you lost your cat when you were younger. You got a F on a test. Whatever it is, you didn't get the job you wanted. What was that, Milt? You rejoiced. Oh man, you're just throwing it down here with these cats. Did you grieve when you lost a dog? No. Okay. Well, we'll just stay away with animals then from you. Okay. The point is, we grieve. As people who have emotions, God-given emotions, God-given desires for relationship, we grieve. The Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians 4, He grieves when we are walking in unforgiveness and anger and bitterness and slander and coarse joking and lying. All of these things grieve the Holy Spirit because He's a Holy Spirit. He's perfectly pure like God. The Holy Spirit interacts with us on a personal level. Also, He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When you see the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, it bears witness, it testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. He interacts with us on a personal and relational level. The Holy Spirit is fully God, and He is personable. That's key to keep in mind, because just like any relationship, the way we interact with it affects the outcome and the health of that relationship. If you're disrespectful to somebody, that relationship is not going to be healthy. If you're not loving towards your spouse, that relationship is not going to be healthy. And the same is true with our relationship with God through His Spirit. Sin grieves God's heart. Unforgiveness grieves the heart of God. And so we relate to the Holy Spirit on a personal level. He walks with us. He lives inside of us. We'll get to that in a minute. He indwells in the believer. He lives in us. We are His temple. The Holy Spirit is fully God and is personable. And this is the beautiful part. If you have in your notes, you have this in your notes. This is just a short list of some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, some of the ways He interacts and is involved in the people of God. Just read down through that. The Spirit regenerates. I'll talk about them in a minute a little more. He indwells. He sanctifies. Some of these words are like, what is He talking about? I'll explain maybe in a minute to help you. He comforts. He teaches. He guides. He intercedes. He unifies. He bears fruit. He gives gifts. He activates worship. And He empowers witness. This is not totally exhaustive, but this covers a pretty broad range of what the Holy Spirit does in your life. If we start off with regenerates, the Holy Spirit brings you to a place where you are now a new creation in Christ. John chapter 3 says, unless you are born of the Spirit, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. How do we know if we've been born again? The Spirit testifies with our spirit. When we see the Spirit at work in our life, we can know that we've been born again. There's signs of life, signs of spiritual life. The Spirit regenerates. He opens our eyes. Again, the only reason any of us are sitting here is because the Holy Spirit has done something in our life, I trust. The Spirit indwells us. So that just means the Spirit takes up His house in your body, in your heart, in your life. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says this. The Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. Now, if that doesn't rock your world, maybe I haven't fully understood it as well as I should. God, the Creator of the universe, has given you His Spirit and put it inside of you. He lives in you. You are a temple of God's Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah, amen? That is pretty amazing. God has humbled Himself to the point where He has taken His Holy Spirit and put it inside of us. People who are tending to wander away, God has put His Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. The Spirit sanctifies. So sanctification is just this idea that we're growing to be like Jesus. Even at regeneration, we don't automatically become exactly like Jesus. Life takes us through a process of ups and downs and growing and building and maturing and going backwards and growing again. And we are maturing to become like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working out your character to become more like Jesus, to think and act and talk more like Jesus. This is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When in the past you would have gotten angry, you respond with kindness. That's a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When that image that used to draw your attention, for it's a car or whatever it might be, doesn't catch your eye the same way, that could be a mark of God's Spirit working in your heart. When those things that were once valuable to you in this world become slightly less valuable, they're no longer what you're living for. You're living for something far greater. That's a work of God's Spirit in your life. That's a work of sanctification. The Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, Jesus calls Him in John 14-16. The Holy Spirit is there to help us and enable us to go through the hardships of life. He brings us joy even in the midst of very difficult circumstances. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit teaches us. John 14 and 16 tell us that the Holy Spirit is who helps us understand God's Word. When you're coming to something and you don't know what it means, and you're praying about it and you're seeking to understand, and maybe something pops in your mind later in the day or through a person who is also reading a similar passage, they help you understand it. Well, that's the work of God's Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is there to help you understand the things of God, to help you understand Scripture. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He guides us. We could think of this in kind of a large picture, but if we look at the book of Acts, the Spirit guiding was very much in the day-to-day, moment-by-moment decision. Hey, don't go over here, go here. Don't go to Asia, go to Macedonia. Hey, there's three guys looking for you. Go into the house. Hey, Peter, stand up and preach. Hey, Peter, declare who Jesus is. This is the Spirit guiding the work of God's people. The Spirit guides. The Spirit intercedes. Romans 8, 28, 26 to 30 tells us that when we are not able to pray, when we lack words to put into prayer, the Holy Spirit is able to take that yearning and groaning in our hearts and take it to the Father and offer it up to Him. Even when we don't have words to put to it, the Holy Spirit does this. And I'm sure many of us have been in those moments where we've been so hurt, so fearful, so unsure of the future for something. We didn't even know how to pray. You can be confident. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then He is offering up intercession on your behalf to God, even when you can't put words to it. Is that not the most good news you've heard today, probably? That's a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Spirit unifies. The Spirit is often described as that which brings fellowship into the body of Christ. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is fellowship in the body. We see that in Philippians 2, verse 1. Any participation in the Spirit, there's a fellowship, there's a deepening of our relationships when we participate together in God's work, in worship, in spirit here. When we're praying for one another, reading scripture together, worshiping together, there's a participation in the life of the body through the Holy Spirit that enables us to create deep bonds with one another. That's the Spirit unifying the body of Christ. The Spirit bears fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of these things are the fruit of God's Spirit at work in your life. The Spirit gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 says that to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you're in Christ, you have something uniquely to offer to the body of Christ. You have something to gift the body of Christ. You have something in you that can be used for building and encouraging one another. That's in you. If you're in Christ, it's there. Whether you've experienced what it is or not is another question that is worth pursuing. But the reality is we have all been given a gift or two or multiple gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we all are needed for the building up of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 is clear on this. We are all needed. We are all essential to the body of Christ. If you haven't discovered that yet, I'd love to pray with you, talk with you, but don't leave without seeing someone either, because we all have something to offer, something to give to this body. The Spirit activates and energizes worship. Ephesians 5 talks about this, that when you're full of the Spirit, you overflow, making a melody to God in your heart. And interestingly enough, full of the Spirit there in Ephesians 5 is not being a testimony or a witness or dying for Jesus. It's not killing sin. It's not crucifying the flesh. Being full of the Spirit in Ephesians 5 is overflowing with praise and gratitude towards God and humbly submitting ourselves to one another. That's what it ends by saying. That's the fullness of the Spirit that Paul is referring to. An overflow of the heart. The mouth speaks. Praise God. And the Spirit empowers witness. So this is what we see in Acts chapter 1. Luke is writing and he says, he records Jesus' words, "You will receive power from on high when the Spirit comes upon you." The Holy Spirit gives us power in order to be witnesses for Jesus. What does it need to be? What's needed for you to be a witness in something? Think if you're a witness to an accident, what's required of you to be a witness? What is needed? What makes you a witness? You just saw it. Like, that's it. You saw something. You have something to report. You have something to say. And if you are in Jesus, you all have seen God working in your life in a way that you have a testimony to give to someone. Someone who's struggling with a sick family member. Someone who's struggling with a sin. Someone who's struggling with a job or financial strain. You who have seen God work in your life in that way have something to testify to them. This is just a short list. Do you see this? That's remarkable. Words can't really put into justice what the gift of the Holy Spirit is in our life. It is remarkable beyond explanation. And there's more to be had of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says that when you repent, you will receive the Holy Spirit. We know that everybody in Christ receives the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's believed in Jesus has the Holy Spirit inside of him. We already talked about that. The Spirit indwells. The Spirit is in us. So then why does Paul command us to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5? We already have him. Is there more of the Holy Spirit? Well, this phrase, be filled, is actually really instructive for us. It's a present continuing action. So not to grammarize you with English, but it's a present continuing action. Means it's not a one-time event. It's something that has to reoccur in your life regularly. It's more like saying be being filled with the Spirit. It's a continual, repetitive action. Be being filled with the Spirit. It's also passive, which means it's not active. Which means it's not something you necessarily do and grab a hold of. It's more of something that's done to you. So there's a stepping into it, but maybe it's more of a surrendering than it is a grabbing hold of something. Maybe it's more of an emptying of yourself than it is of an obtaining something. If we're full of ourselves, the fullness of the Holy Spirit won't rest upon us. Being filled, I think, more describes a yieldingness. We're just letting go than actually grabbing a hold of something. We're pursuing the Spirit, but as we pursue, we empty ourselves. It's a surrender, a daily, moment-by-moment, continual surrender to the prompting of God's Spirit in our day-to-day lives. Whether that's, hey, don't get angry in this. You know, that the child that's testing your patience, you hear that voice in the back of your head. Hey, don't get angry. You know, you were once that way. It might tell you all these sorts of things, like you were that way too. Like you've been forgiven much. Like all these things that go through our head is a prompting of God's Spirit in order to live out the life of Christ in our everyday interactions. The Holy Spirit is the one responsible for doing that in your life. But there's a surrender. Just hearing the voice doesn't make anything happen differently, right? You can hear the voice all day long, but unless we're stepping into and responding to and yielding ourselves to what the Holy Spirit wants and not ourselves, we're just going to continue to hear voices. But when we step into and surrender to that prompting, we grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So be being filled. Continue to pursue more of God's Spirit. I want to show you a couple things in Acts as we close. And then we're going to have a time for just response, individual response. We're going to have a little bit of time just for you to individually respond to this picture of the Holy Spirit, who is in every way 100% necessary for your life in Christ. 100% necessary for your life in Christ. And so we're going to get a chance to respond however the Spirit is prompting you now. Maybe there's just a rejoicing, and that's great. Maybe there's a sadness like I had, even as I was preparing the last several days, recognizing how undervalued the Spirit has been in my life at times. Whatever it is, we're going to give you a chance to respond in just a few minutes. I want to show you a couple places, though, that really take it from a theological framework down to a, like, hey, the Spirit wants to speak into you how you're going to go about the rest of your day today. Acts 4. Peter is filled with the Spirit, and he gets up and testifies about Jesus. Peter is filled with the Spirit and testifies about Jesus. Now, you won't have a chance to stand in front of a Jewish crowd, probably, and testify about Jesus. But you have friends who need to hear about Jesus. You know, you have neighbors who need to hear about Jesus' love for them. Being full of the Spirit, again, is a surrendering to what God wants to do. And what God wants to do is make His name known, to bring glory to the Son. That's what the Spirit came to do. If you're following a spirit that's leading you away from Christ, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to declare Christ in your life. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered were shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Out of all the scriptures I referenced in that study, in that packet, 250 passages, the most common way the Holy Spirit moved on somebody was Spirit-inspired speech. He calls them to speak, whether it's prophetically or just encouragingly or convictingly. The Spirit of God moves on the heart of people in order to speak about Christ and His glory and His name. He inspires our words. Acts chapter 8, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So the Spirit is leading Philip to a specific person in order for Philip to be able to talk with that person. The Spirit wants to do this in your life. As you're in the grocery store, He might lead you, He might highlight a person to you and say, hey, this person needs someone to just hug them or smile at them or talk to them, to say a kind word to them. It might lead to something more in the moment, it might not. But that moment, the Spirit of God is leading you to a certain person potentially in your everyday interactions, if you're sensitive enough to what's going on around you. Acts chapter 8, that's Acts 13. Paul here is confronted by a false prophet, and he's able to see and testify that this guy is false, that Satan is actually at work in this guy when many would have thought otherwise. Satan is called out because God's Spirit is on somebody. And they recognize, they discern the evil spirit that's there. Acts 16. Paul, in his missionary journeys, is traveling around, and he says, the Holy Spirit says to him, don't go. Don't go here. Don't go to Asia. Go to Macedonia. The Spirit directs. The Spirit speaks through us, and the Spirit directs us. Those are the most two of the most common ways the Spirit moves on people. He directs our paths, and He gives us words to speak. He directs your steps in your everyday to put people in your path who need to hear of Jesus. And it might take time, it might take relationship building, it might take all of that, or it could be that moment, hey, you're supposed to speak something boldly into someone's life. Acts 20:22, almost done. The Spirit had revealed to Paul that much affliction and much suffering had waited him. In each and every city he was to go. The Spirit told him, in Jerusalem you will experience near death. The Spirit revealed what Paul was up against. The Spirit desires to speak into every aspect of your life. Every decision you have is something where you can come alongside God and seek His Spirit in. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God because we have a God we cannot fathom on our own. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that apart from the Spirit of God, we have no capacity to understand the things of God. None. Without God's Spirit, we can't understand things of God. We just can't. We need His Spirit. Who understands the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, it says there. If you want to understand God more, if you want to experience God more, if you want to know God more, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. We have a calling we cannot complete on our own. We are called in Christ to become like Jesus. Anybody ever tried that on their own? That was a joke. Anybody ever tried to become like Jesus on their own? Doesn't go well very long, does it? No. We need the Spirit of God on our lives in order to look and act and talk and think more like Jesus. We need His ministry. And finally, we have a mission we cannot fulfill on our own. When the disciples were told to go and make disciples of all nations, they had something given to them that was beyond them. We all have things in our life God gives us, God calls us to, that are beyond our own ability to fulfill. You have a calling on your life that you cannot fulfill apart from the Spirit of God. Each and every one of you in Christ has a calling on your life that you cannot fulfill apart from the Spirit of God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we're desperate for the Spirit. That's why we're 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have close in a time of response. We're just going to give you some quiet space to reflect on this, to respond to the Spirit in whatever ways He's speaking into your heart. Because He's speaking, He's wanting to impress upon you something today. I don't know what it is, but I know the Spirit's always at work. And He's wanting to impress upon something in your mind today. So we're just going to have a moment or two, 3 moments of quiet. We'll have a closing song, and continuing through that song, respond to God's gracious gift of His Holy Spirit in your life.